Okay, so we at least some people had agreed, I don't know, but unless there's strong opposition to what we're doing, that as we get closer to Yom Tov, to do a Yom Tov Sugya, I in general don't like doing this, doing Yom Tov Sugyot and not sticking to the Masechta that we're in, but since the main Sugyot about Simchat Yom Tov are in Psachim, that's my compromise. I'll do that now. The Sugya of Simchat Yom Tov appears in two main places in Psachim, on Daf Kuftet, which is the general mitzvah of Simchat Yom Tov, and then on Samach Cherem and Bet, which is the how you divide your day on Yom Tov, Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem, or Kulu Lachem, the Kulu Lachem, which for those of you who went to Rambam, which is one of you, you probably were told a very specific way of keeping Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem. What? Yachol Yod. And Mordechai really wanted to do that sugya, but Mordechai is sick, which is okay because we're doing the other sugya. Mordechai feel better when you listen to this recording. Okay, but we're going to start with the main sugya on Kuftet, and Avi, as much as you complain about it, I really did cut down the Makarot as much as I could. I know, because I really tried to cut down on the Makarot. This is one of five, but I still tried to cut down, and we'll see how it goes.
What are five
pages, like separate Makarot sheets. Why are there so many books? Because Kohelet, anyways. Yep. Okay, but Kuftet. Okay, but this is actually. But I am limiting Makarot somewhat. I do want to try to think about the broader issues. So the Gemara on Daf Kuftet tells us as follows: Tan Rabbanan, Chayav Adam L'Sameach Banav Uvnei Veito Baregel. You are obligated to make your children, your household happy on the Chag. Shne'emar v'samachta b'chagecha. Because it says, and you shall rejoice on your holiday. Okay? Someone want to help me understand the words that we just read? Okay, be careful there. You have to. You what? No, lissameach. Be very careful. You have to make other people happy, right? As it says, v'samachta b'chagecha, right? What's the whole pasuk? Samachta v'chagecha, ata uvincha uvitecha v'avdecha v'amatcha. Right. Just in case you were wondering where I got your family, it's because that is the rest of the pasuk, right? Very clear. Shene. Okay. Now. Right off the bat, I want to ask you, okay, what is the nature of the mitzvah of Simcha? If I was asking you, Binyamin, there is a mitzvah of Simcha, what would you have said? What is the first thing you would have said? What is the mitzvah? To be happy. And yet, what is the Gemara's first thing? To make other people happy. Right? That should already raise some questions as to what is the nature of the mitzvah. Then the Gemara says, Bamem Misamcham, what should you, with what should you make them happy? Biyayin. With wine. At this stage, what does it say? Who becomes happy with wine?
Everyone.
Everyone. Good. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Anashim bera'uy lahem. Men with what is fitting for them. V'nashim bera'uy lahem. And women was fitting them. Anashim beruilem biyayin. Men with wine. Vinashim bimai. What for women? Tani Rabbi Yosef. Bibavel. Bivigdei. Tzivonin. In Bavel, colorful clothing. Be'eretz Yisrael. Bivigdei. Pishtan. Linen clothes. Okay? Pressed linen. Okay? I remember, I might have told this to you last year, Kobe, but only really Zerika will appreciate this. But 11 years ago, on what happened 11 years ago on Gimel Sivan? So both Ray Wasserman and I got married in different countries, right? On the next morning, right? So Dalet Sivan, right? I get a call from Rabbi Friedman. And what do you think Rabbi Friedman said? So first he said mazel tov, and then he said, did you buy new clothes for Orev? Because, right, because it is Erev Chag. It's right before Shavuot. And I was like, a wedding ring? And he said, okay, maybe that counts for this Chag. But don't forget for next Chag, because that is your Chiyuv. That is, of course, what Rav Friedman said when he called me a day after my wedding, based on this Gemara. Then the Gemara says, Tanya, Rav Yehuda bin Betera Omer, Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam, in Simcha Ela Bivasar. When the Beit HaMikdash stood, Simcha is only with meat. Rav Yehuda bin Betera. What? Rav Yehuda. This is Rav Yehuda bin Betera, yes. Shine Amar. You shall slaughter the karbanot. You'll eat them there, in the Beit HaMikdash meaning, and rejoice before God. So then, Simcha was with meat. And now that there is no Beit HaMikdash, in Simcha, Ela B'yayin. There is no Simcha except with wine. Shneemar v'yayin yisamach levav enosh. Because the pasuk in Tehillim says that wine gladdens the hearts of men. That is the Gemara. Okay, good, thank you. Okay, someone tell me, based on this Gemara, if I asked you, define the mitzvah of Simcha. How does one fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha? Okay, so it's some... so. Descriptively, one line would say wine. Another would say. Well, I don't mean practically. Define the mitzvah. Forget practically now. What? Okay, so what? Good. One line would say, right? There's a tension. Binyamin picks up on one line, which says the first line, which says make other people happy, right? And by saying wine, what do you mean? Drink wine, which means you should be happy. Well, in part of the Gemara it does, and part of the Gemara it doesn't. Right? Now, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, what would it have been? Meat. What type of meat? Karban. Yeah, the meat of the Karban. Because if it wasn't the meat of the Karban, then why would you not have that meat nowadays? Right? What I want to do is try to understand the nature of the mitzvah of Simcha. So, let's say you hadn't read this sugya, and I told you, there is a mitzvah called Simchat Yom Tov, right? And you didn't know any Gemara, what would you have said? How does one fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha?
Everyone always says you have to eat meat.
If you didn't know anything, forget, erase everything, you never knew anything, all you did was you read a pasuk that says, be happy!
I would say
what? Oh, Eitan says a very radical thing. Be happy. Okay, now let me press you. What do you mean by be happy? Oh, okay. So Kobe says do whatever makes you be happy. Or get whatever. Okay, what else?
It just means like...
party, sure.
Rejoice.
So Binyamin says, what do you mean do whatever makes you happy? Be happy. What is this focus on actions? Oh, now you're being negative. Don't be not happy. Okay. So there's a lot of... so there's a problem here, right? We've got to figure out, right? When we say Simcha, what do we mean?
So we could mean... right? Simcha
could mean that there's a command to be... to emotionally be happy, right? Now, Avi said that's impossible. It can't command someone to be happy, and that's why I would say do actions that make you happy. Now, that doesn't fully answer the question, because you could ask further, well, what does that mean, do actions that make you happy? So what's the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah to be happy, it's just that you have to do actions that bring you to that point, or is the mitzvah about, right? Is the mitzvah about the actions per se? It's completely formalized. Right?
Or is it
to be happy? It just happens to be that you have to do actual actions to bring yourself to that, but the mitzvah is still the emotional state that you reach at the beginning, or maybe both, and then you have to figure out the connection. Well, that depends. What do you think the role of these actions are? Right? Are they means, but the mitzvah is to be happy? Or because halacha works very formally, the mitzvah is to do those things. You hope they bring you to happiness, but maybe even if they don't, maybe you'd be okay if you think it's completely formal. Oh, very good. But then maybe that's not happiness. So, very good, right? So we have to ask, right? The Gemara here lists a bunch of actions, right? But we have to ask, is the mitzvah the actions? Is the mitzvah the emotional state that emerges from the actions? Both? Or some other construal of it, right? Now, if I asked you, okay, let's assume that it's actions. Okay? Which actions? So, what? Okay, so Avi says, well, whatever makes you happy. Meaning, okay, we have a, you know, can you just give me a marker?
Oh. Why do I never break? Oh, why?
Why don't we just not?
Just need like a marker holder?
Yes, that's what we need. What? Is that what it is? So we're thwarted by someone who's trying to clean up. Amazing. Yeah. Okay.
Sasha?
Which one? You wouldn't guess he was serious, you know? Like hides under his sweatshirt with his headphones over it.
Kobe, where'd you go? Where'd he go with my markers?
Okay. So one question we have to ask is the relationship between the actions and the emotional state that may emerge from the actions. Right? We further have to ask, well, if it is actions, which actions? So you could say that it's whatever makes you happy, right? That you do need to perform some sort of action, but those actions are, you know, subjectively defined, as Avi would have it. Avi very formally said, whatever makes you happy. Very formal. Whatever makes you happy. There's a chalois, do whatever makes you happy. Right? Or what else might you say?
Or that you have to do what the Torah commands.
That what? What?
Do what the Torah commands make you happy.
Right, meaning there are specific acts that are defined as happiness-causing activities. And that's what you have to do, right? So again, so the axes that we need to analyze so far is one, right, which is action versus emotional state, right? Right? The second question we have to ask is that if it's action, then is it subjective or objective? Right? What else do we have to figure out? So based on this Gemara, we also need to figure out.
Is it about what you're doing specifically, or does it have to have? Right. Like, can you? I guess I kind of understand.
Okay. What else? Now we're gonna have to figure out the role of family here, because that was right. Within this, right, meaning family, others, right, we're going to have to figure out, because we'll have to figure out the nature of this, and we also need to figure out within the objective, which is, right, also, right, what, right, which ones, and also mikdash, right, how does that change? Now, so if I asked you, let's go through just what we saw so far. Which parts of the Gemara, let's pick up here. Let's start with this tomorrow, okay? This question. Subjective or objective? Do you think that the that Simchas Yom Tov is defined subjectively or objectively?
Well, part of the Gemara thinks that the planet is subjective,
but which part of the Gemara? Which lines? Don't think first. Give me get
oh,
which
part.
Like okay, good. So Moshe knows that's not the beginning. That's what I'm asking, right? That certain parts imply subjective, like the Ra'ui Lahem. When the Gemara said whatever people want, right? So that's Ra'ui Lahem. So that was the Big Day Lavan, Big Day Tzivonim, the clothes, etc., right? What in the Gemara might imply something different? Yeah, right? That the Gemara says, Mikdash Basar. Not Mikdash, right? No Mikdash Yayin. Right? That sounds objective, right? If the mitzvah was just do actions that make you happy, so why would that change Mikdash? Not Mikdash. Oh, okay. Meaning what? So now you'll tell me, well, the mikdash was different because the basar was karbana. Yeah, so good. Why does karbana make things different? So be more careful. What does that tell me? The fact that the time the mikdash you need karbana, what does that tell me? How do you read that? Okay, what do you mean? No, I wanted you to tell me what that means. That's what I'm asking you. What does it mean? Why is karbana different when there's a mikdash? Why? What? Tell me. Because what? You. I want you to tell me. What is it about karbana? What?
Me.
Good. And therefore what? What is it? And so why can't you do meat now? So... But why do you need karbana specifically?
Because
it's smaller.
Otherwise,
you're
sad because
you're karbana every time you look at me. Okay, so Eitan says, oh, wow. Maybe this is a technicality, right? Which is, maybe karbana tells you, really, this is subjective, right? It really, the mitzvah is subjective. Do whatever you want, right? And it has to do with the Gemara says that in the time of Mikdash and Mikdash of the Basar, that doesn't mean that it's like a formal thing. It's just that. Karbana make people happy. And when you don't have it, meat just doesn't make people happy as much. If it does, then what? Then you can eat meat, right? So maybe this is like some weird psychological description of the reality of the Beit HaMikdash. It's not like nothing here is formal. It's just like psychologically, karbana make most people happy in a way that meat doesn't.
I agree, meat makes you very happy.
So did anyone say this? Yes, we'll actually see that a very, very weird shita says what Eitan just said, which, yeah, Ray Ginsburg was not happy when I showed it to him. He was just like, anyways, to be fair, it is in the middle of a 14th century poem, or by whatever. Or, anyways. But this is quite the stretch. What would you, more likely, what would you have said? The fact that you need karbana, what that would imply? That it's objective, right? If you say that you need a karbana, right? Not just meat, you need a karbana, right? That pushes in the direction that the mitzvah is much more objective. Now, what's the problem in our Gemara? If I asked you now, okay, is the mitzvah subjective or objective? Based on our Gemara, what would you say? Oh, so you, well, first of all, I would say our Gemara makes it unclear. So how do you solve it? So Eitan says two mitzvot. What do you mean by two mitzvot?
One for others and one for yourself.
Oh, okay. So we could just divide. So if you wanted to say there were two mitzvot, object and subjective. So distinction one is you versus others, meaning what? Right? I don't know even know what that means here. Oh, I thought you were going to say the chefs of the person. Like, that's...
Yeah. Wait, what the chefs of the person?
Object versus person. Subject versus object. Sure. Right? Now, what other distinctions might you make? No, but wait, what? I mean, remember, what's the problem here? The Gemara, again, if you go back to the Gemara and I ask you, is this Gemara, is the Kiyum of Simcha, in order to fulfill Simcha, are there subjective standards or objective standards? And you read the Gemara, as Moshe noted, it depends which line of the Gemara you're talking about. When it talks about women, it says, get them whatever clothes they like. If they're above all this type, if they're an Eretz Yisrael this type, that pushes very much towards the direction that it's subjective. But when Behuda Ben Mishira says, when there's a mikdash basar, which sounds like karbono, that sounds like objective. And then what about now, yayin?
Maybe now it's subjective, now it's the Beit HaMikdash.
Oh, now it's what?
Now that the Beit HaMikdash is gone, it's subjective.
Okay, good. Right, so now you got to ask, mikdash versus not mikdash, what's the difference? So it could be that mikdash is objective, right? And no mikdash is you can't fulfill the objective. So what do?
You do
a secondary type of simcha, which is subjective. That's only one way of reading the sugya. What's another way of reading Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra? Very good. Right? The alternative is to say no, right? The mitzvah is always objective, but, right, it starts with basar and then goes to yayin.
I think it's not correct to say you versus others. Everyone has an obligation to eat the carbon. It's just everyone has their own personal.
Do they? Good. So now Kobe raises another question, which is other people. What's the nature of the mitzvah of simcha for your family?
I don't know.
What? Wait. When the Gemara says that you have to make your family happy, what does that tell you about the nature of the mitzvah for your family? So one possibility is that there is no mitzvah for them to be happy. There's a mitzvah for you to make them happy. Right? And then you got to figure out that mitzvah. Or what does it mean? It's on them. And then why are you making them happy? Very good. Right? Is what we call in halacha mitzvah yeah. Right, is you're obligated to help them fulfill their mitzvah.
Wait, you
as the head of the household. Maybe.
Why not?
Why would women have a chiyuv in eating the karban?
Is it?
Grandma, maybe, for kids, maybe you have to deal with chinuch, right? So this little Gemara here is quite, at first glance, it's pretty straight, right? I mean, it's pretty easy to understand. The problem is when you try to figure out conceptually what it's talking about, right, and trying to figure out, wait, is simcha about the actions you take or the emotional state you reach? And if it's about actions, are those objective actions or subjective actions? And what's the difference between mikdash and not mikdash? And why only basar and why only yayin? And why, what does it mean to make your family happy? And why does that seem to be described in more subjective language than simcha for men, right? These are all the questions that we need to... Possibly, yes. Right, so now let's... Right, today, by the way, we're mostly going to get... Today we're probably going to mostly get questions down at the table, yes. Possibly. Very good. So Kobe says, well, that doesn't make sense to the pasuk. Says they have to be happy. Good. Maybe. Okay. Now, beyond this, right, let me ask you, why should, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, why should, in the time of the Mikdash, why should it be limited to basar? Why? Why would you even say that? Which book, okay. Very good, because in the psukim, it's not about meat. What is it about?
Eating
what?
Carbon.
Where?
That was actually
when I
was a bit. No, that was. The Fnei Hashem.
ulakachtem lechem b'yom rishon priyitz adar kapot marim v'naf eitzavot v'arvei nachal v'smachtem lefnei adon alechem shivat yamin. When in context of Sukkot, you'll take the arba minim and you will rejoice before God for 7 days. Dvarim tetzayin v'samachta lefnei adon alecha ata u'mincha v'itecha avdecha v'amatecha v'alivi asher b'sharecha v'ager v'yatom v'amana asher b'kirbecha b'makom asher yivchar adon alecha shaken shmo sham. You shall rejoice before God, you, your children, your son, your daughter, your servant, your maidservant, the Levi, the convert, the orphan, the widow, in the place that God chooses to have his name dwell there. Perek Yudbet Pasuk Zayin. V'achaltem sham lefnei Adonai Aleichem. V'smachtem b'chol mishlach yedchem. Atem uvatechem asher berechecha Adonai Aleicha. You'll eat there before God and rejoice with all that God has given you. V'natata akesef v'chol asher tavah nafshecha babakar v'atzon v'yayim v'sheikhar v'chol asher tishalcha nafshecha v'achalta sham lefnei Adonai Aleicha v'samachta tavaydecha. You shall eat what God gives you and rejoice before God. Avanim shleimot tivne. Good, these are not all about Yom Tov, but every time we have simcha and we have eating, what does it always mean? Wait, what do all these mean? What do they say every time? Eating where? Eating what and where? Yeah, lefnei Hashem. Every one of them.
Yes, it does. Lefnei Hashem Elokecha, of course it does.
So sometimes it means the Mishkan, right? But lefnei Hashem Elokecha is always Mishkan or Mikdash.
Lefnei Hashem always means before God, which means
okay, so why can't it be the Mishkan?
It seems from something that's talking about that specific
place. So Mishkan moved. Why can't it be the Mishkan?
Because it seems like it's talking about after they get across the Arctic, they sell right. Themselves, that's where they should start.
Right, so why can't there be a Mishkan? Or at least next to the Mizbeach, before Hashem, why?
Well, was the Mishkan in the Arctic?
It was still moving with them, wasn't it?
I guess so.
Okay. So, but one reason to say that it's carbon is because the psukim don't just talk about simcha, which might imply meat. What does it imply? What does it say? Simcha, lefnei Hashem, right? Which pushes you in the direction of carbonot specifically. But this only forces me to ask, why? Why does it make any sense? Why should simcha only be before God, or why should the simcha only be karbanah?
Because simcha is part of, it's kind of like every holiday you have with Sukkot. It's part of that, and that will happen, unfortunately.
Meaning what? So what Kobe is saying was maybe that points the direction that what? Simcha is? Meaning, is A, it's objectively defined, right? And how is it defined? As some part of, right? It's not about an emotional state. What is it? It's describing a certain type of relationship with God, right? And then you've got to figure out, okay, does that mean, are we really unobjective, or is it subjective, but it's telling you the context, right? The type of simcha that you need to achieve, right? Possibly. Okay, but these are the questions that I want to deal with. Again, so let's just review the questions we have to deal with in the Sukkah, okay? One is, right, is Simcha about actions versus, right, emotional state? What evidence do we have? What evidence do we have that it's about actions? Right, the fact that the Gemara limits it to carbon, and even when it's not limited to carbon, it tells you, right? It gives you certain actions you have to do. Yayin, right? Maybe clothes, etc. But it still lists actions. What evidence might you have that it's about the emotional state?
Right. Is the fact that, right, we do talk about, right, right, that the more you go towards suggest, right, the bara'oi lahem, right, with whatever makes them happy, points more in the direction that it's about the result, right, the emotional state, rather than the actions per se, possibly, right, because it could be, even without actions, we'd have to ask, right, what are these, right? So question two is within actions, if it is actions, are they objectively chosen? What would be the evidence for this? Again, basar, yai in the discussion and the like. What would be the evidence for it being subjective?
The fact that it lists all these different stuff. Like,
and again, it says, the ra'oi lahem, whatever makes them happy. Now, again, the ra'oi lahem could either mean what? It could either point out that it's subjectively defined actions, right? But it's still, the mitzvah is an action-based mitzvah, or what might it indicate? Correct, that it's only an emotional state, right? And that's why it's subjective, because you're just trying to bring about the emotional state. Now, is it possible that it's both? Sure, right? It's possible that it could be either both or... right, or causative, right? I mean, it could be that you're chayav both to do actions that bring you to happiness and to be happy, right? Or it could be that, what's the mitzvah? To do actions in order to bring you, right? There's two things there, and then you have to, it's not that it's just both, there's actually a connection between the two, right? And then the third question we need to ask is, how does it change with different people, right, in different time? Correct, right? Meaning if it's action, do you even need the emotional state, right, or not? Right? And then we have to ask, well, how does this all change in the mikdash, right, and not the mikdash, right? Why does it change? What is the nature of that change, right? And what is the nature of the different mitzvah for people, where you have to ask, right, is it that everyone is chayav, or what? Or you're chayav lissameach, right? That you're chayav to make them happy. And then you've got to figure out, well, why would, if you wanted to say that, why would you say they're not chayav, but you're chayav to make them happy? What would be the nature of that mitzvah? What would it mean for me to say that you're chayav to make them happy? Why would that be the case? Not that they're chayav. Okay, good. But what is the nature of that mitzvah? Why does it make any sense? Oh, good. Right. So the question is, even if you say it's to make them happy, why? Is it because making them happy makes me happy? Right? Or am I actually chayev to make them happy intrinsically? Okay, good, right, so then you have to ask, is this a chiyuv on specifically the head of a household, or is this like a chiyuv on men, right? Men are chayav to make society happy or something, right? Any bar mitzvah. Good. Okay, so these are the questions that we need to deal with, that, and again, we need to figure out what is the role here of Chosmei Hashem, right? Where, what might it be? So again, right, what might Chosmei Hashem do to transform these? So let's do, does it... L'fnei Hashem possibly affect this question of actions versus emotional state? Right, so it could be that L'fnei Hashem, right, just describes the type of actions you need to do, namely, like, karbana. What about emotional state? Might it affect, does the emphasis over and over of L'fnei Hashem, that might affect the emotional state you'd be looking for? Sure, meaning how? Right, meaning it might qualify, right, what it means to be happy, right? Even if you think it's about the emotional state, right, what does it mean to be happy? It's not just any happiness, right, but it's just a type of happiness. right? What about this? Objective versus subjective? Does Lefnei Hashem qualify, change how we think about this? So again, within objective actions, yes, right? That might be why it needs to be basar korbanot. But then you would have to figure out if Lefnei Hashem is necessary, you have to ask them why. I understand how korbanot allow simcha before Hashem, but what about yayin? Right? How does yayin accomplish it? If it's about really subjective actions, then we have to say that Lefnei Hashem changed this at all. Right, which again comes back to this question is, what type of emotional state are we looking for? Okay. So. Good, we got the main questions down. We understand the problems in the sugya.
There's a lot of them.
A lot of them. Okay. So let's look at the Rambam and let's see what we get if we look at the Rambam. Well, yeah, meaning this is fine. So I'm going to put that over here. But the timing question is yes, meaning more specifically, right, Mikdash is Simcha, right? Clearly the primary Simcha was in the time of the Mikdash, but nowadays, is it that what? Is it that it's different? It's like no mikdash. Is it different or? Right? Fine. Less.
Does that mean you less can the Torah not just say outright?
What?
Doesn't he just say outright that when the Beit HaMikdash was there?
Good. So if you want, so you could just say it's different but equivalent. And then you have to explain why no without the mikdash we would do it differently. How could you say it's less? What's the easiest way to say it less? If you just want to cheat, but many, you'll see that many of the Rishonim actually do say that. What? And therefore? Yeah. And you would say, so some of the Rishonim say, what does it mean? You're right. It's Simcha is objective, it's about the Karbon, and therefore without the Mikdash, there's no mitzvah. The Gemara says there is a mitzvah. It's Darabanan. Right, you're right. The mitzvah doesn't really exist. There's the Doraita mitzvah, which let's say is objective, right, about Karbanon, and then nowadays it's something else. And then Darabanan, then we'll have to ask, so what is it? Is it objective but not meat? Is it subjective? Is it about the emotional state? It does. Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera says, when there was a mikdash, there was only meat, presumably because of the Karbana, but now it's wine that indicates the Mikdash did change it. The question is, how much did it change it? And how did it change it?
Wait, what was the Durabunan thing?
So one possible way of saying, right, so Kobe said, well, when there's no Mikdash, is it that there's still a mitzvah of Simcha, you just fulfill it differently? Or is it that, no, somehow Simcha is fundamentally connected to the idea of Mikdash, and therefore when there's no Mikdash, not just different, it's lesser. And I said, the easiest way to say that it's lesser is to say it doesn't exist. Right? That without a Beit HaMikdash, there's no mitzvah of Simcha. Or Gemara says there is. So then the easiest way to say it would be that nowadays it's Derabbanan. But you're right, the fundamental mitzvah on the Doraita level just simply doesn't exist without a Mikdash. Right? Correct. I said, if you explain everything that talks about nowadays, Derabbanan, what you'll be left at is that the core mitzvah of Simcha requires Mikdash.
And it's for all holidays?
Yes. This is one of those things that I cut out for you, which is that technically the way we learn Simcha, and there is a lot to this, but it's really from... Simcha is not said by all the Chagim. We learn it from Gzeir Shafet, right? It says it. Right, it emphasizes it by Sukkot, and we learn about Exer Shavuot. The other Chagim, I don't want to get into all of that, because despite what Avi thinks, I do actually cut down on what I give you. I don't have to. I could just keep going forever, but I do cut down. Okay, but let's look at the Rambam, and let's see if we get... from the Rambam, okay? So, Perek Vav of Hilchot Shvita Yom Tov. But I want you to tell me what you get from the Rambam and what's surprising about the Rambam, okay? Yep.
I'll get the Rambam. The Rambam says,
okay, let's read it. Let's read it together. So, Perek Vav Halacha Yod Zayin. Shivat Yimei HaPesach Ushmoni Yachag Yishmar Yavim Dovim Kulam Asurim Behesper V'Ta'anit. The 7 days of Pesach, the 8 days of Sukkot, and other Chagim, you cannot eulogize or fast. V'chayav Adam L'chyot Bahen Sameach V'Tov Leiv Hu Uvanav V'Ishto Uvnei Veito V'Chol HaNilvim Alav. You are chayav to be happy and of good heart. You, your kids, your wife, the members of your house, and anyone who is nilvim elav, right, who accompany you, shenemar v'samachta b'chagecha. I just stopped there. What would you think? What is the nature of the mitzvah of simcha? What does being happy mean? So I ask you, what if I stop there in the Rambam, what would you say? Chayav Adam lechyot bahen samech v'tov leiv. You're obligated to be happy and of good heart.
Right? So here, the first half implies emotion.
Okay, why is everyone chayav in sim? What is it? What's the role of you and your family, whatever? What is the... Are they chayav in simcha, or are you chayav to make them happy? Not clear, right? It depends how you read the chayav, right? Is it chayav Adam, right? Hu uvanav yishto, right? He's chayav, his wife is chayav, they're all chayav, or the person is chayav to ensure that everyone's happy, right? Yeah, you could read it both ways, right? Not 100% clear. Okay, so I just read the beginning of Halacha Yud Zayin. I would probably have said, yeah, the mitzvah is to achieve an emotional state. Afal pisha simcha ha'amura kan, hi karban shlamim. And then he says, even though the simcha that is discussed here is the karban shlamim. That's a very harsh language. What does that mean? Right, first half you said the Rambam sounds like the mitzvah is to reach an emotional state. Yes? The immediately next word is, the simcha that's talked about here is shlamim. What does that sound like? An objective or subjective action? Objective. Why did you say subjective? Yes, you did. He said, the simcha that we say here, which we just said is emotional, he says, is karban. That's what we call in math. Identity. Thank you. Equals, right? Simcha equals karban, which makes it sound like, what does he think it is? Objective, specifically mikdash, right? And then he says, V'avol bisha simcha murakan hi karban shlamim kimo sh'anu mivarin me'elchot chagiga. Yesh bechlal ota simcha, there is included within that simcha, lismoach hu uvanav uvneito kol echad ve'echad karaui lo. Within that mitzvah is the mitzvah that you should rejoice, you and your children, everyone, as called for. Okay, someone explain that sentence to me. Someone explain that sentence to me. Okay, it's clearly a wider mitzvah. Good. Now, how is it a wider mitzvah? Someone explain. The Rambam said three things just in this halacha, okay? Who besides Rakobi wants to? Avi. So what do you say? Right? The Rambam starts by saying the mitzvah is to be happy. Then he says the simcha is karban. So we went from emotional state to this. And he says that even though it is a karban, Bichlal ota simcha, included within that simcha, is that everyone should be happy with that which makes them happy. What is the connection between the first two parts of this?
Okay, but that in that simcha is what?
Everyone should be happy in the way that it makes them happy. Mr. Zeriker, how would you parse the three parts of the Rambam?
Okay,
What? Again, the first thing the Rambam says is chayev to be happy, which we said sounds like the most simple. Then he said, even though the simcha is karban, which sounds like it's an objective action, specifically karban. And then he says, but nevertheless, bichlal otah mitzvah, included within that is that everyone should be happy with whatever makes them happy. Good. What? Good. So what? Good. So the key word here is obviously bichlal, included within. How can you include something within? What do you mean by one of the criteria? Okay, right. So one possibility is, right, informal logic, right, a conjunction, right? This and this, right? Meaning, what is the nature of the mitzvah?
The karban,
and being happy. Right, or the objective and the subjective, but probably even, right? Right? Now, what's the relationship between this and this, between the actions and the emotional states? So you could say this is primary, this is secondary, right? You could say that it's both equally, right? And then nowadays we only have one of them, but it used to be we had both. But he just said bechlal. So that's what I'm trying. What is the relationship of each person right now? So what does bechlal mean? So one possibility is that just this and this, right? That simcha includes objective actions and either subjective actions or emotional states, right? What else? How else might you read the word bechlal here? That's what I just said. And here. And two mitzvot. And. Right, one way of reading bichlal is two mitzvot. That it's the objective standard of karban, and either however you want to read the other part, the subjective actions or the emotional state, or the subjective actions leads to the emotional state. That's one possibility. So Kopi says I don't like bichlal as and, right? That doesn't say like and. What did he say? He said simcha equals karban, but bichlal. Good. So what does that mean? So you could say b'di'avad, right? Right, which is ideal versus secondary. Okay, that's possible. Kobe, what do you want to say? So again, so possibility one is it's both. Possibility two is it's primary and secondary. Is there any other way of reading the Rambam?
Maybe there's both smaller parts of a bigger mitzvah.
Okay, how?
Maybe it could be further to add something else.
I want to ask you what you think. Right now, if you just stopped here, what would you think? Moshe is saying something very good. Please say it. What mitzvah? What do you mean? Push it. You're almost there. Come on. What else might the Rambam mean? So we've seen two things. Possibility one was Zeriger, is that you're claiming both. The objective actions, karbon, and the subjective ones, or the action plus the emotional state, or primary, secondary, right?
Or maybe these are all objective, well, subjective objectives.
What? Or what? No, Moshe said they're all part of something bigger. What is the bigger thing? Right? Right? It could be that what? No. It could be that, what does he mean, bichlal? That really, what's the mitzvah? You asked me the simcha. What's the mitzvah? To be happy. Right? Right? Very good. So, but you could say that at some level, right now, we'll see. I gave this to you on another one of the source sheets because I didn't want to bias you quite yet. But the Rav has a very famous distinction here, right? I actually gave it to you in English. That's how nice I was being, right? Between...
Oh, is it because he says the emotional state and
the Rav raises the distinction between what we call the Masa Mitzvah and the Kiyuma Mitzvah. What does that mean? Right, the Maisa Mitzvah is the actions, and the Kiyuma Mitzvah is? No, is the end to which the actions are aiming at, right? That sometimes you have a split where clearly the primary thing you're worried about is what? The Kiyuma Mitzvah, achieving the goal of the Mitzvah. Elamai, how do Mitzvah work? That there are actions involved, right? But if you say something like this, so meaning the Kiyuma Mitzvah is to be happy. The Maisa Mitzvah is the actions that lead you to that emotional state. If you say something like this, then what might Bechlal mean? That even if there are primary and secondary Maisa Mitzvah, right? In what sense are they still bichlal the mitzvah of simcha? Because they have the same kiyum, right? Then on the one hand, is there a primary secondary distinction? Yes. But in what, namely, in terms of the masa mitzvah? But in terms of the kiyum mitzvah, in what sense can you say they're all bichlal the same mitzvah? Because they're all aimed at the same kiyum, at fulfilling the same goal. Fulfillment of, right? Meaning, the goal to which, in formal language, this would be the telos, okay? Right, in Aristotelian language, right? This is the.
That's the goal you
what? What? Back to Aristotle again. Yeah. Okay, so it could be that in certain mitzvah the kiyum is very, very prominent to the point where the mitzvah are really just means, meaning there are actions that you can do, but the real, 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 right, the more important part of the mitzvah is the kiyum rather than the masa, in which case you can have primary and secondary ones, but still fundamentally they are all under the same.
Good. So let's see if we get more clarity as we continue.
The Rambam in Yudchet says, Ketzad. Haktanim noten lahem klayot ve'gozimu migdanot. So how do you do this? So kids, you give them nuts or other treats.
Wait, what's the primary and secondary of the thing?
Carbon?
Oh,
other things.
So kids, haktanim noten lahem klayot ve'gozimu migdanot. Kids, you give them nuts and other treats. And for women, you buy them clothes based on how much money you have. And men have meat and wine, because there's only simcha with meat and wine. Does someone want to have a problem with the Rambam?
There's no primary and secondary.
What? Does it?
No, because
yeah, but when's he talking about? Is he talking about during the time of the Beit HaMikdash? No, so what did he just reject from Yehuda ben Batera? Did anyone in our Gemara say you need Basar and Yayin? Anyone?
No.
No, no one. Right? Well, is that true? Good. So what? Now you have to go back to the Gemara and say, when the Gemara says "en simcha l'bayin," what might it mean? Could either mean only wine or only wine and right? Meaning it used to mean could no. Meaning it could be one way of reading it is it used to be meat and now it's wine. What's another way of reading it? It used to be meat only and now it's meat and wine. Oh, then you'd have to say, why? Very good. Hold that thought. But in general, figure out why you would say that. And second of all, we have to figure out why does the Rambam seem to not care about Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra at all, right? He just seems to ignore it. Now, why would you ignore Rabbi Yehuda? Why would you ignore Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra? Either he's not, right, which is what I just said, that Ein Simchel B'Yayin means Yayin as well, or he paskins against Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra, right? Are they? Good, and what's the Rambam talking about? Good, maybe. Right? Good. So you could say that what he means by mina, what Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra means by mina, is different. That Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra is saying the objective actions are different, and the Rambam is saying yes, but subjectively it still might be important. Good, and that's what we're going to see. That's a machloket. Good. And then he says, ukishu ochel v'shote, when you eat and drink. You have to give to the ger, to the orphan, to the widow, with other poor people. But if you lock your gate, and you eat just your wife, your kids, and you don't feed the poor and those who are embittered, Ein zu simchat mitzvah, ela simchat kreso. It's not the simcha of a mitzvah, it's the simcha of your, what's kreso?
Your gut,
your stomach. Val elu ne'emar, and that these people we say, zivcheyem kelechem onim lohem, kol olchav yitamu kilachnam lenafsham, v'simcha kazo kaloni lohem. This type of simcha is a disgrace. So what does the Rambam tell you here? Where does the Rambam get this idea that simcha is the wrong type of simcha? Where does he get that from? That if you don't have poor people at it, it's the wrong type of simcha. Good. So the people say, the psukim say you have to have poor people, but the Rambam takes it farther. Right? What does he say? If you don't have poor people... You could have said, if you don't have poor people, what did you violate? A mitzvah to feed the poor people, that's what the Rambam says. What does he say? It's the wrong type of simcha. You weren't behind the mitzvah. Where would the Rambam get an idea like that? That all those Fnei Hashem things, what do they indicate? That's not just that simcha, it might qualify the type of simcha that we're going for, right? Meaning, if you think that the mitzvah, or at least the kiyum mitzvah, is what? Is the emotional state, you still might have to ask the question, what type of emotional state, right? And we saw already in the Lefnei Hashem that it's possible that the type of simcha you're looking for is qualified. It could be that this is one of the qualifications. Ah, very good. Right, but if you thought it was just about the actions, you'd say, okay, so I failed to give staka. How does that affect my simcha? But if you say, wait a second, the mitzvah, or at least the kiyum mitzvah, is about an emotional state, you might say that what? What type of emotional state is important in terms of defining the simcha we're talking about? And then he continues with this, right? In Yutet, and this is where we're going to get into Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem, but I just want you to see what this is, but this is how the Rambam frames what we have on Samachet, even though eating and drinking is within the mitzvah aseh, which is also a weird language, right? It's not the mitzvah, it's within the mitzvah. Don't eat and drink all day. This is what you should do. Everyone get up early and go to shul, learn, right, daven, Lord, read the Torah portion that's related to that day, go home and eat, then go back to the Beis Medrash, and learn until half the day is done. V'achar chatzi hayom mitvalin tefillat mincha, and then you daven mincha v'chozrin l'vadein le'achol v'lishtot shar hayom ad ha'layla, and then you go back and eat again. Kishadam ochel v'shodeh v'samech v'regel, and when you eat on and drink on the holiday, and you're happy, lo yimashech v'yayin uv'schok v'kalad rosh, don't get caught up in wine, right? Don't get drunk and schok, frivolity. V'yomar shekol mi sheyosif baze yarbe b'mitzvah simcha, and say, well, anyone who does more of this is doing more of the mitzvah. Shashichrut v'aschok harbe, because drunkenness and levity and frivolity, v'kalad rosh, Eina simcha ella holelud v'zichlo. That's not happiness. That is holelud v'zichlo, foolishness. V'lonis davin al holelud v'zichlo. We're not obligated to be involved in, right? Foolish joy. I don't know. Hedonistic, orgiastic joy. Ella ala simcha sheish ba'avodat yotzer hakol. Simcha, which has service of God. Shneemar, tachra shalavad, Hashem lekecha, v'simcha v'tov levav, halav mata shavoda b'simcha.
So, where do all the mitzvot qualify by your relationship with God?
Right? We mean happy, but a very specific type of happy. V'yefshar lavod Hashem lo mitoch schok, v'lo mitoch kalav roch, v'lo mitoch shechor. You can't serve God in a frivolous state, or if you're drunk. And then if it weren't clear to you how seriously the Rambam takes this, so in Chaval, if he says, Chayavin Beit Adin Lahamid Shotrim Barigalim, the Beit Din has to set up police on Chagim, Sheyu Misabavin Umechapsin Beganon Uvardesim Al Arok, Kadesh Yid Kapsu Lechol Vashot, Shom Anashim Anashim Vaibu Lidea Veira. They have to search in the gardens and the orchards and by the river, and make sure that men and women don't have the meal together and come to an avera. And they have to warn everybody, that men and women don't mix. Right? And you can't get drunk because you might come to an avera. So what does the Rambam say? It's not just that he thinks that the simcha is qualified, right? He even thinks that you enforce the contextual nature of simcha with police, right? I mean, the Rambam takes this very, very seriously. Okay, tomorrow, I guess, Thursday, let's sort of hammer out some of these issues of the relationship between meat and wine and see if we can further understand these. That's the rest of the source sheet, and maybe I'll give you the next source sheet, and we'll see. Hopefully, we'll finish these over the next few days, but then next week is Rosh Hashanah, so we don't have much time.